I've been reminded. Good news. This is Professor Farnsworth. Those of you that aren't familiar with the cartoon character, Professor Farnsworth has a habit of coming up to you and saying, good news, and then telling you any minute now you're going to be exploded into a million pieces. In other words, his good news is never very good news. And I really want to just talk to you about what message we're conveying to people today, because this has all come out of something that happened to me this week, and I just want to share what I believe with you is good news. Mark's gospel starts off by telling us that Jesus was proclaiming the good news of God. In Luke, what we had read to us, we see that Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has given me the job of proclaiming good news. Jesus has always got good news. I just want to ask you today, is it always good news that we are proclaiming? On the screen there, you've got a picture of the great Arthur Blessett. When I was about 20 or so, he was walking across the USA carrying a cross, and he had a great ministry for many years, and no one's going to hear me knocking Arthur Blessett. He did a good job for us. But is what we're saying to people as good news as what Arthur Blessett was saying? Is it as good news as what Jesus was saying? You know, Jesus collected around himself some right ruffians. You know, people who are just as good as you or me. Had you then for a minute. He gathered around himself the marginalized of society. People who didn't feel welcome in the synagogue, but they were welcome with Jesus. And I want to say to you, our message, which we call the gospel, and we call it gospel because that means good news. We call it good news because it is good news. I want to encourage you that what we can offer people in Jesus is always good news. And it is so important that we are telling it like it is, and that we're not couching our message in bigotry or in unpleasantness or because of bad experiences of other people. Somebody this week, I met them in town, and they said to me, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. Now, that isn't true. I am a sinner. I'm a sinner, though, saved by grace. And I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. But they didn't know that. But what sort of gospel is that? That our opening line is, you're going to hell. Is that good news? Now, it isn't necessarily untrue, but we have to be careful, not that we are modifying the truth to suit the day, because the truth is the truth is the truth and always will be the truth. But we need to tell people the good news. If you've got to say you're going to hell, you need to say Jesus saves you from hell. We need to offer people the solution, not the problem. Could I suggest to you, many of us know the problems in life, and the truth is, we're very good at telling other people what the problems are. We're very good at going up to people and saying, you know what I think. But what we need to do is tell them not what we think, but what God thinks. We need to share good news with people, like Arthur Blessett did, carrying his cross across the nations. I saw him in England when I was about, I don't know, maybe about 20. Amazing guy. I read some of his books. A great guy. He always was proclaiming good news, that Jesus has come to change your life. Jesus has come to give you life worth living. Jesus has come to give us life, and that in the days in which Arthur Blessett was talking, he would say, and that more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life and live it to the full, we might speak if we were quoting something a bit more NIV-ish than King James-ish. But, you know, Jesus has come that we might live life to the full. Now listen, I became a Christian just before I was 9. I've been married once to one beautiful woman for 38 years, and I thank God for her. But do you know, in all of these truths of life, I have not missed out on anything good. I have missed out on some bad stuff. And I thank God that He's saved me from some bad stuff. If you've undergone some bad stuff, well, I'm glad that Jesus saves you from it. And you know what? It's not that some of us are better than others. It's that some of us maybe met Jesus sooner. But thank God for that. But I just want to encourage you that it's good news that Jesus came to forgive us of our sin. It's true that we're all sinners. The man was right about that. We're all sinners. That's absolutely true. But unless we get the good news along with the judgment, we're never going to get anywhere. And I would say to you, if you go up to people in the street these days and say, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, then I would suggest to you, they will not listen to the rest of what you maybe want to say. We need to give people good news. And if we aren't giving people good news, we may as well pack in. And you could say to me, well, it was good for Whitfield and it was good for Wesley. Yes, it was. But in those days, it was very different. Whitfield had 1,000 people listening to him in York Market area. 1,000 people. And he stood there and he pointed out with his bony finger at the crowd and he says, God judges you. And people ran to the front of the crowd, bent down on their knees and prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's all he had to do. Now, I think that's astonishing. I think that's amazing. But do you know what? The world has moved on a bit. The gospel is still effective. The gospel is still powerful. But people in that crowd today would be more focused on what was on their phones than what someone was saying to them from the front. We need to recognize this. We need to recognize this. And it isn't good news in most people's minds when someone stands up there saying, you sinner! So I want to say to you today, is our gospel good news? Yes, it is. But we need to make sure that we are communicating good news. My next slide, please. Our message is not good news if it has to be couched in bad-mouthing others. So, I engaged with this bloke in the city centre, and he said to me, it's like this church, pointing to the church he was stood next to, saying, the leader there believes some absolute rubbish. He's not a man of God. Now, I have to say to you, that turned me off. You know what? I don't know what that guy is like, really, because he's not a guy I've actually engaged with yet. But the truth is, we do not gain followers by putting down other leaders. And that is not what we should be doing. 18 years ago, my family and I left a church to save our lives. And you don't hear me spending my time bad-mouthing that place. Because do you know what? It's better to talk about the goodness of God than it is the badness of the devil. It's better to talk about the mercy of Christ than it is to talk about the judgments of God. It's better to talk about the blessings and healings and the power that God exhibits in us and through us, and that we taste his goodness of every morning. It's better to do that than to talk about, hey, do you know about so-and-so? Well, he's a cheater, he's a thief, he's a bad man. Do you know what? We don't need to do that. We really don't. Our gospel is polluted if we pollute it with this stuff that you hear from other people. You know what? No one needs to hear that. You know me. I thank God for One Voice. We had our first online meeting of the new autumn season this week. It's great to be together again. And next week, we're back to face-to-face meeting. After 18 months, we're back together for face-to-face meeting. It's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. I will be in a room with Anglicans. God help me. I will be in a room with Baptists. God deliver me. I will be in a room with Methodists, with people from other weird charismatic new churches like the Ark. I will be with people who are ceremonially Pentecostals. Do you know what? There'll even be some Catholics there. God bless them. And you know what? They're all friends of mine. They're all people I love. They're all people I value because God values them, and I should do the same. And I want to say to you today, you will never find me bad-mouthing any of them. And at One Voice, you will not hear us bad-mouthing each other. Occasionally, over the years, in fact, twice in the last 18 years that I've been part of the group, we have had to make an announcement about a particular group that, to use a phrase which rolls off the tongue, had gone rogue. And we've had to say stuff purely so that other pastors and vicars and leaders in the city knew that they weren't alone in dealing with people that were picking up from those churches, and that they were recognized that this was an issue, and that the wider group knew. And sometimes you've just got to pass on information. It's a good thing that sometimes at One Voice, someone will say, can I just pass on a bit of information? We had a guy turn up this week, and he was after cash from some of our members. And I was talking to so-and-so, and apparently he was at their church last week. So I'm just letting you know, this guy's on the rounds, and just be aware, he gives his name as this, and so on. And sometimes it's helpful to us as pastors and leaders to have that information from friends. But it isn't told as gossip. It isn't, have you heard this? Let me tell you. It's not like that, because we don't go around bad-mouthing people, but there is a responsibility on leaders to save the church from wolves, to save the sheep from wolves. That doesn't mean it becomes something that we tell everybody in the whole church. It becomes a matter of wisdom and a matter of focusing in on what really matters, which is the good news. Jesus came to save me from my sin. He found me lost and bleeding on the Jericho Road, and he poured in oil and wine. And you know what? He still does that for everyone that calls out on his name. If we are caught bad-mouthing, well, the first thing you should do is challenge me. You should say to me, hey, Steve, what's this about? you've said this. Challenge me. You know, we should never be bad-mouthing others. It's good to invite people to church. But if they're saying to you, oh, well, actually, we're already going to so-and-so church, well, that's fine. That's okay. You shouldn't say to them, well, you should say to them, well, remember us too, but if you're going there, God bless you. But what we shouldn't be doing is saying, oh, you don't want to go there. They've got some very weird ideas there. Oh, that's Steve Redman, for example. He's as weird as oats. He really is. I mean, he started doing this pastor's library thing on YouTube. And let's face it, who does that help? You know, there's some really odd people in church. And actually, most of them are us. So we shouldn't be bad-mouthing other people. I understand that there are whole denominations that have issues and problems. You know, I could talk to you about those, except it wouldn't really be very good news. But if you came to me and say, well, you know, I'm in a church where the word isn't preached regularly. People aren't telling us good things. Well, that's fine. We can help you with that. But we aren't here to rubbish somebody else. And I'd love to tell you that the Bible says, thou shalt not rubbish other Christians. But it does tell us that we should speak and act as those who will be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who hasn't shown mercy. Did you hear that? Judgment is without mercy to the one who hasn't shown mercy. We need to be merciful to others, that God will show mercy to us. And we should always speak and act as those who will be judged by the law of freedom. We will stand before God and be judged for what we have said. Therefore, shut up whining about other people. Really, we need to watch what we say. That's in James 2. This one is in James 1. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And this is the next verse. It's not as well known as the verse I've just read out to you, but it's a continuation. It says, for man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. God is righteous. Through the cross, through Jesus Christ, to all who call on his name, to all who come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, forgive me, come into my life, make me a new creation. To all of those, we are imparted the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Righteousness simply means right standing before God. It does not mean the moral high ground. It does not mean that we are morally superior. It means that we have the ability to stand in God's presence. That is amazing. You know, I often try to think what it would be like to stand before God on the day of judgment. And my Bible tells me that the righteousness of God is imparted to me, and therefore I can stand in his presence. I may want to abase myself, I may want to throw myself on the floor, although I'm not quite sure if there's a floor in heaven. Think about that. I'm not quite, you know, it's spiritual, I don't know. But I may want to throw myself before God, but I can stand in his presence because of the righteousness of Jesus. Your anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. The gospel of Jesus Christ accomplishes God's righteousness. Good news is the root of righteousness, not bad news, not your overflow of the filth of your mind, which some of this is simply that type of thing. We must stop bad-mouthing people. My last point today, if you can hear me above the motorbikes. God bless you guys. God bless you. Amen. 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 Actually, though, that was a... yeah, that's the point here. Yeah, I don't think Harley's in the Bible, is it? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Good. He is hot today, is Nigel. On this day, his 40th birthday. So, testimony and praying. Let me tell you this. It's good news when we share what God has done for us. You might think you are saving me a lot by telling me how that awful vicar believes in something awful. You might think that you are saving me that way, but you are much more likely to engage with me if you tell me what God has done for you. I used to go to lots of Christian events when I was a young man, when I was a teenager, when I was in my early 20s, lots of things that were based around testimony. And we would get a speaker up and they would just share their testimony. And they were very effective. And it was at a time when God was helping us realize that meetings didn't have to be a hymn prayer sandwich. And we were just trying to understand that church could be done differently. And I thank God for those days, but I'd rather live now. But testimony is incredibly powerful. This particular event I'm thinking of, the first one I ever went to, there was a man there with a certificate. It was his death certificate. He traveled all over the world with his death certificate. He had died of a massive heart attack, or as he said, a myocardial infarction, which I thought was rude, but anyway, apparently it means heart attack. Is that right, Bella? Just checking. And I was incredibly moved by this man's testimony. And it was a powerful, powerful testimony. And thank God for his testimony. And you know what? Over the years of running these things, I kept coming back to his testimony all the time. He was in the morgue for 4 hours before his pastor turned up. His pastor had been out of town for the day. His pastor turned up, asked to see his body, laid hands on his body and prayed for him, and he sat bolt upright and he had a toe tag on him. And they'd made out the death certificate. So he traveled all over the world saying how God had saved him, literally. Now, do you know what? That's a big testimony. And after that night, I became very convicted that I didn't have a big testimony. I thought, Lord, they'll listen to him, but how are they going to listen to me? And do you know what? God said to me, tell them about your bladder. Now, I was a young man, and my bladder was very personal to me. I didn't feel anybody had a right to know about my bladder. But it was the one thing where I could say that God had powerfully healed me, because about 2 years before, I had had a bout of cystitis, which many of you women know what cystitis is. Not many of you men do, because not many men get it. But when men get it, women, you have no idea what cystitis is like. When men get cystitis, it's terrible, and it can leave horrible scars. The main thing is that the truth is that when men get cystitis, it often leaves them with a weak bladder afterwards. And I was a young man, I was about 20, 21, and I had to go to the loo every few minutes. In a church meeting, I would have to go to the loo 3 times. It's embarrassing. But do you know what? One night, I went out for prayer. We had visiting ministers from the States, and they had two prayer lines. And I went out in one line, which was for one thing, but I didn't go in the line for healing. And the guy at the front, he was praying for one, then praying for one, and then praying for one, and praying for one, and the two lines were going down. And when he came to me, he crossed over his hands, and he prayed that God would heal me, and I wasn't in the healing queue. I'd already been out to the loo three times in that meeting. I sat down. And when I got in the queue, I wanted to go again. But do you know, that night, I was instantly healed. The following day, I went to work, and I made myself 2 litres of coffee and drank it. 2 litres of coffee and drank it. And I didn't go to the loo until I went home. And I just felt, what business is this of anyone else's to know? But God said to me, listen, it's your testimony. Share it. And I began to share that testimony. And as I began to share it, God turned up in my life in so many different ways. I had a list of testimonies so long, I didn't know where to stop. And people will say to me, Stephen, your problem today is you still don't know where to stop. So why not share your experience with me? Why not share your experience with people? Let's not be bad-mouthing people. Let's not be saying, well, I used to go to that church, but they were horrible. Instead, let's be saying, I've known Jesus for some time. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And let's allow that to infect people. This last 18 months, we've understood the power of masks. We've understood social distancing. We've found out all the places that have got a deal on disinfectant wipes. We've known which supermarkets have just had them delivered, and we're going in there like a shot to make sure we get a pack. But this year, have we infected anybody with the good news? That's my question to you today. Are we infecting people with the good stuff? There's a brand new baptistry up there. We're going to start using it. We just need to get some fresh people born again so we can get them baptized. And do you know what? There's going to be no waiting for a baptism in this church, because we can just bring it downstairs, set it up. We've got the water pump and everything. You know, we're ready to go. We just need to share good news with people. Let me encourage you people this week. Let's not be looking for problems. Let's be reminding ourselves of the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other, because Jesus is the way. Let's remind ourselves of the good news, and let's make sure that that's what's coming out of our mouths. If you see someone in the town centre and they're giving leaflets away, or they've got something, or you're just meeting someone in Tesco's and they've got a limp, and you say to them, what's up with you? And they say, well, I've got this friend called Margaret, and she touched me, and I've got this offer. You know, you can say, but do you know what you can do in Tesco's? You can pray for them. You can. Your testimony, your prayer, that is what will change our city. Somebody going round with lots of flyers saying, you don't want to go in this place because they don't believe the word of God, that is not going to help us. Your love, your mercy, your kindness, your good testimony, your prayer, that can change the world. Do you want to change the world? Come on, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to be world changers today. We want to be amongst those who give the good news of the kingdom of God. We want to be of those that give the good news that Jesus saves, that Jesus is our healer, our deliverer, that Jesus wants to challenge us to leave our lives of sin and walk on with him into glory. Father, we pray that you will help us to recognize the importance of the good news. Help us always to be talking well of each other. Help us always to be talking well of your church, even if we don't know them. If someone says to me about saints, somebody or others, and I don't know who they are, Lord, it's not up to me to say anything bad about them. Who knows what God will do to someone that goes into that church? But Lord, help us to be a welcoming place, a place that always speaks well of others. Help us to be a place that loves people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.